This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Hello and welcome to Just Women, the weekly talk show on Brooklands Radio. It's Just Women for the next hour, talking to really interesting and inspirational women about a variety of subjects. I'm Ivana O'Brien and my lovely co-presenter today is Sharon Agnetha Finch. It's an ABBA joke. Hi Sharon, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good. Did you have a good journey in?
Yes, it took me 10 minutes, so very good. Thank you very much. Today we've got three fantastic guests in the studio to talk about the effects of trauma in childhood, how to choose the right prep school, and a product designed to restore energy. It all sounds very interesting. If you'd like to join in with any questions or comments, please email studio@brooklandsradio.co.uk and we'd love to hear from you.
Thanks, Sharon. Sounds like another great show. So to start the programme today, I'd like to welcome Lou Requena, a Tai Chi and Qigong instructor, intuitive coach and mentor, and more recently, a model. That's a mouthful, Lou.
Yeah, I know. Hi. Very exciting.
Before we talk about some of the great stuff you're currently doing, can you just tell the listeners a bit about your career background? What's brought you to this point?
Okay, I first started in banking, working for Barclays Bank all around the West End, for which I started by default, really. It wasn't what I wanted to do, but I ended up there and it was a good time. And then I left there and went into financial advice and spent probably about 18 to 24 months moving around, doing lots of things to find out what I did like. And I came out with the fact that I really enjoyed serving people in some way, sort of like the customer side of things and analytical side of things, physical things, but I couldn't quite bring it all together. And then from there, trying to think now, yeah, I did quite a lot of different things and I then ended up going travelling for about 7 months on my own, which was fantastic. And I also started working voluntarily with young people and families at risk. And then the particular position I had in hospitality around that time, I was made redundant from there. So I thought it was a natural progression to go into working permanently with young people and families, which I did with a role funded between Connections that was then and Surrey Social Services. And that was fantastic for about 2.5 years, and that taught me a lot. I became a personal advisor there, got my diploma to do that with young people and families. I learnt a lot about anger management, counselling, lots of different things. And my own background, I had been the other side of the fence as well with counselling and psychology. And then I learnt to, when I came back from travelling, I progressed into becoming a life coach. I had already become an instructor in Tai Chi before going to travel. So I then set up classes. And then a lot of good things happened and then fell apart, which led me into becoming self-employed, which I have been ever since, really. And now find myself doing more of that.
I've always been intrigued by Tai Chi, you know, people standing there and all these kind of hand movements. What's the message behind it? Is it about balancing your energy centres? What is it?
Well, Tai Chi is a martial art in its essence, although I teach it just for health. But it is about the yin and yang. It works every part of your body all together. So it works with your acupuncture points in the body, the meridians. And it is about balance. It's often described as either standing like a mountain and flowing like a river, or standing like a tree, which I prefer, and flowing like the river. So the idea is that really we strengthen our core, our foundations, the structure on which we live in, we live on, and the rest of us should flow with life rather than against it. So if you say from the waist down to be strong and grounded, and from the waist up, much like a tree with the branches, they blend with the weather, whatever happens, but they're always strong.
Because sometimes I see people slapping their arms and then slapping their legs. So is that trying to wake them up, or what's happening with that?
A mixture, really. We do it in Qigong a lot as well, slapping gong, and it's really about breaking down any blocks of energy in the body, revitalizing you, clearing any negative or stagnant chi in the body. It's fascinating. It really does work. It's like an instant zing. It's really good.
Sharon, I'm going to have to try that after. Oh, okay. I'll slap you and you can slap me.
You've already tried it. I'm not doing it. And you mentioned you went traveling. Where did you go? Did that influence you wanting to do Tai Chi and Qigong?
Well, I had practiced Tai Chi before going traveling, but it certainly influenced my start in working for myself. That came to me while I was traveling. I'm from Gibraltar originally, so I went to Gib and parts of Spain to begin with. And then I flew back into the UK and I had an organised trip through Asia, Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia and Thailand. And then from there, my heart just opened and I carried on. I went to New Zealand, Australia, Singapore, back to Bangkok. It was absolutely fabulous. Recommend it to anybody.
And you mentioned in some of your bio that the importance of empowering people to take control. How do you do that with children?
I think the best way, Sharon, I can describe that, because it's a big subject, but I know through my own journey that if the system, as I call it, had been right about me because of having had a troubled childhood growing up and it affecting my mental and physical health, more so the mental emotional side, I would have been stuck on lithium and labelled to the hilt, which I already had been then. So for me, it's about having found my voice and actually knowing what and who to say no to, as well as what to say yes to. And I just find it's my opinion and my belief that we live in a world now where everybody's labelled, medications handed out like they were sweets, and there's not enough time and energy placed into taking responsibility and realising that our life is our responsibility. When I worked with young people, that was really the greatest message, to help them realise that whatever went on in their families, which is where a lot of their troubles lay, that, you know, they have personal power and they can choose to live their life or not to live it.
There's a quote on one of your sites. It says, "My belief, to overcome something, you need to work through it. Go into the darkness and start walking in the light, your light. You have to learn resilience, strength and discipline, and sometimes you might have to fight your way through. Have the courage to change and grow, and the knowing that there is always a way." I thought that was just really, really beautifully put.
Thank you.
And powerful.
Yeah, and that literally has been part of my story, really, that I had to fight. You know, when faced with the medical practitioners who know their stuff but weren't right about me, and that's where my intuition started kicking in, although I didn't realise what was happening then, and that was really my saving grace. And I do believe you have to face whatever it is and work through it.
So if you could go back, say, 20 years ago and relive it again, how would you want it all to have unfolded differently in relation to how the mental health thing was then to how it is now, and what lessons could we learn from what happened?
Well, I guess because I was very frightened then, and I know Sharon asked me about the message to young people and children, is that, you know, you don't have to follow what, there may be a bit of a backlash to this, but what your family, what the deemed professionals tell you, that there is and can always be another way, that your life is in your hands, that you can take charge, and if you don't think that's right for you, then you don't have to follow through. Mm. I mean, I ended up in hospital. I ended up having, ECT treatment, which, you know, is very barbaric. Admittedly, it probably saved me at that point. But I do feel that, you know, it was very much that was the only way. Whereas I think now, thankfully, we're beginning to see that there is another way. Although it appalls me to hear how many people are on antidepressants worldwide. And that, you know, sometimes it's okay not to be okay. Life can be hard. Yeah. That's the truth. But yeah, we've got to feel our emotions. We've got to realise that, you know, there is... We all feel down sometimes, yeah. You know.
And do you think often it's hard because you might work with a young person and then they're okay, but then they're going back into an environment that isn't healthy for them. So unless you work with the parents as well, and it's like you're approaching it from both angles, it's hard to get them to move forward.
Absolutely. When I worked with young people and families, that was a lot of our work, that, you know, we'd go into a family and there might be one sibling out of three that was manifesting the family's problems, which is what happened to me, really, in retrospect. And so we'd work with that one child, but then find out the others clearly were affected. They're all in the same family. But then the mother or father, usually the families were split. I think that's the nature of today in a lot of cases. And that the mother or father in question had a history of problems themselves that they didn't realise consciously they were repeating with their own children.
Yeah. So how can you support people in a similar position now? So how are you getting the message out there and supporting them?
Well, I'm just beginning again now, because I've spent the last few years teaching a lot of the Tai Chi and Qigong. So that I want to bring in part of my work, because I do believe that, you know, the body and mind do go together and your energy is key. And, you know, listening to your body as well, because the body never lies. But equally with the intuitive coaching, and by that I mean that we don't have to be fixed, we don't have to be perfect, that we can still create a life that we love from a place of imperfection, if you like. And it's not about dwelling on problems or whatever. I'm not saying that, you know, if somebody's been through abuse and trauma, whatever, that you don't address it. Not at all. There's a time and place for everything. But that it doesn't all have to be dealt with tablets. And it just giving somebody the message, the power to take their life in their own hands and build them up, that can go a lot further than, you know, giving them a tablet three times a day.
You work closely with Feltham Young Offenders Unit and NSPCC, the police, and attend case conferences. Is your role to identify or help to identify problems and provide solutions?
The role at the time in that position was as a practitioner with the young person. So I would go with my colleagues and attend the conferences and be part of the whole program to help them move forward with their issues, with the challenges. And I didn't realise it then, but I was probably coaching already, certainly mentoring and teaching the young people to be empowered. I mean, I remember one young girl who, cutting a long story short, she came from a very broken family, let's say, and she ran the risk of being accommodated. She took an overdose and she rang me. I was in Epsom and she was over near Stanwell, which was quite a distance, so I couldn't get to her. So I had to talk her through a process over the telephone. And I often used to question the good that I and my colleagues did, because we were just one part in the game, really. And I remember her writing me a card saying, "Thank you, you helped me realise that my life was worth something." And, you know, like my supervisor at the time said, if you hadn't have been in her life, Lou, she might not have had somebody she trusted enough to call in the first place. So it's having one person at least to be a support and give that person space to find themselves, really.
Or someone just to believe in you as well, that you can get through it and that you can make those changes.
Absolutely.
It's really powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, very, very powerful. Not just the words, but actually truly believing that. And I do really, really believe that everybody has that part in themselves.
So where would you like to take the business moving forward? What's the passionate part about what you do? What do you want to really focus on for the future?
A big part of me, Ivana, is now just beginning, but I'd really like to move into public speaking and to work with people like social services and give them the view over the other side that I've lived through. And as somebody reminded me recently, you know, you're alive, Lou. Some people aren't that lucky. And to help them, help the people who are going through that to find their own voice through coaching, through working with their body energetically. And, you know, I do honestly believe, it might be very controversial here, but I don't think you ever, ever fix that kind of problem, if fixing is the right word. And it's very topical now of trauma and abuse in childhood with the footballers talking and lots of other people. But you can get through and you can change the course of your life. But, you know, you do need to have some support with that and work through things. So public speaking would be a great thing for me, and working alongside big organisations and teaching people as well, talking and writing. Writing has been my saving grace, and I love writing, to express myself through both those modalities, really, as well as the coaching, and inform people about, you know, things you can do naturally to help yourself without having to follow the route of medication and other such treatments.
And you just started modelling as well.
I have indeed, Ivana.
Tell us a bit about that, Lou.
Yeah, very exciting. I just found a site online because I was looking for new work. And, you know, my confidence has suffered in the past through what I've experienced. And it's not been easy. And, you know, being the other side of 50 now, it's a different ball game. And I went along for this trial day. And there was no investment of any sort at that time. And I absolutely, thoroughly loved it. And so I've gone on, apparently mature female models are in great demand, and I've been signed up.
There's hope for us yet.
Absolutely, it's a real thrill, it's wonderful.
So was that facial modelling or clothes? Or?
Well, this was clothes, but, you know, they obviously do your makeup and hair, and I tell you, it was so transformative. I took to it like it was natural for me. I really, really loved it. And it lifted my spirits. It gave me confidence. It's transformed me, actually. I'm so looking forward to doing it.
So you've started your portfolio.
I have. It's in process now.
And if you could talk to a younger you, Lou, say 20 years ago, what would you say to her?
I would say take more risks. Don't take no for an answer. And believe in what your heart is telling you, nobody else's.
Very good advice. And also, Lou, lastly, just for our listeners, if anyone's listening out there that wants to kind of get support, wants to make that first step, but is a bit scared, what would you say to them?
I would say, first of all, if your heart is telling you that, you know, maybe it's medication or whatever isn't true for you, to find a good coach, find a good support person that can help you, whether you be a young person at school, go speak to somebody. If it's a family situation, then more importantly, yes, go and speak to somebody. It doesn't mean that things have to fall apart. You know, family is important. But find a good coach, find a good practitioner, somebody, even if it's a teacher at school, a neighbour, somebody that you can trust who will listen and take what you're saying seriously.
And if people want to contact you, how can they do that?
Okay, at the moment, I only have one small website for the Tai Chi, so it's best really if I give an email address and a telephone number, as I am in the process of making changes really in that area. Shall I give that to you
Yeah,
now?
Please, that'd be great, thank you.
So if they email info at, and then it's LourdesAnne-Requena, REQUENA.com, or telephone 07952 370 670.
Brilliant, thank you very much. That was Lou Requena, an intuitive coach and mentor. And now we're going to have a short ad break, and we'll be back to talk to our next guest, Marinda DiPrano, author of Head Teacher in Your Pocket, the essential guide to your prep school. So stay tuned.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Discover the delights of Lebanese cuisine at the Brilliant Mazat in Weybridge. Found right in the town centre, this popular restaurant and grill offers locals a great dining destination and the chance to sample some of Lebanon's greatest dishes. Whether it's a meal for two, a meal out with a family, or dinner with a group of friends, Mazat guarantees an enjoyable experience.
Is your business accounting in the cloud yet? Do you want to dramatically increase efficiency in the business? Then why do you still talk to your accountant about what you have done after you've done it, when we can plan on the now and the future? We specialise in cloud accounting, personal and business tax, VAT, CIS, payroll and business consulting. Give us, Goddard's Accountants, a call on 020-8941-2187 for our advice on how we can streamline your business to cash flow success. Goddard's Accountants, West Molesey. We take away your pain so you get the gain.
Your family's well-being is your everything, and at West Byfleet's private GP clinic, we provide accessible, expert advice for everyone. GP appointments, earwax removal, travel clinic, health checks, blood tests, aesthetics, to name but a few of our services. Visit privategpclinic.co.uk or speak to our friendly team on 01932 344 004. Private GP Clinic West Byfleet is regulated by the Care Quality Commission.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Sharon Finch, and Ivana O'Brien. I'm delighted now to welcome our next guest, who's Marinda DiPrano, head of Notre Dame Prep School and author of a new book, The Essential Guide to Your Prep School Journey, Head Teacher in Your Pocket. Welcome to the show, Marinda.
Hello, thank you.
As with the previous guest, could you just give us a bit of background about yourself and how you came to this point in your career?
Oh, gosh. Well, I always wanted to be a teacher from about the age of four onwards, when I first arrived in a classroom and they had a budgie, which I hadn't been allowed at home. So school was marvellous. I was very, very anxious at school, and although I loved my prep school, I had the sense that school was a place that had no real relevance for me. I wasn't terribly good at it. I didn't like exams. But I always loved finding things out, and I always loved explaining things to people, and I liked children. And as I grew up, I thought it would be really fun to work with children. So I decided to become a teacher. I started my career 30 years ago in Brixton, and really have just moved on from there through. I've been in four different schools, and I've been at my current school for 21 years, which I've loved. I was a class teacher, head of science, head of RE, deputy head, and I was very happy to continue doing that till my career ended, and then the opportunity arose for me to become head, and I've been head for 4 years, which I have thoroughly enjoyed as well.
Is there something about Notre Dame School that provided the inspiration for your book?
Lots of things, actually, but I wrote a blog for some years. And in it, I tried to explain things that I felt that families and parents may not see from the perspective of the school. So as a young teacher, I had a feeling that, you know, parents were on one side and teachers were on another and children were in the middle. And as I went through my career, I realised that although that wasn't true in exact terms, in terms of what people understand in the language that we use and the way that we relate to each other, very often we seem to be on different sides. So when I became a head, people arrived in my office at first, I think, trying to find out who I was and what I felt was important for the school. And they asked lots and lots of questions. And those questions formed the basis of blogs which tried to answer those questions. And eventually I looked back and I had 35. And they seemed like the sort of questions that anybody would have about a prep school life. And so I thought it was worth turning into a book so someone could run their finger down the contents page and find answers to the questions that were troubling them.
I did a bit of research, and the book's on Amazon, Goodreads, and various other websites. And you've got 5-star ratings on absolutely all of them, and some really, really brilliant write-ups. The primary school years can sometimes feel as daunting for the parents as for the child. Inevitably, we all have many questions about our children's schooling. This excellent book answers all of them. It's aimed at those considering prep school education, much contained, very helpful for parents, witty, down-to-earth, realistic. It just goes on. It's just so it's just so glowing. But you decided to self-publish it, didn't you, as well?
Well, I was very lucky to be in touch with Elizabeth O'Shea, who is a parenting specialist, and I was in touch with her, really, a very sort of long accidental story that involved a hairdresser, as most fortuitous meetings probably do. And I talked to her about the things I wanted to say, and she has a history of writing books, and she said to me that one of the best things to do was to decide really whether I wanted to say what I wanted to say or to say what a publisher might want me to say because it would sell well. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, I've got a lot of things I want to say, and I don't want someone else telling me they're not the things I want to say. So self-publishing seemed to be the best answer because it gave me the strongest opportunity to really just put my opinions out there in a straightforward way. And I was determined not to turn it into an information book and to make it very warm and not to talk down to anyone. And so I had a house style that was my own, and I didn't want to write to someone else's. So self-publishing seemed a really good way forward.
And from doing the research and writing your book, Marinda, what would you say are some of the main things that parents worry about in relation to their children's education?
Oh, so many things. I mean, I think the first thing is that so many parents I come across want to find ways to support their children and help them, which is marvellous, but don't know how to do it. And so the first thing that they will do is a trawl on the internet or in the newspapers, and they will discover there that there's something really fundamentally wrong with education. So they feel they need to interrogate everything that happens in a school and to find out how they can control the process. So what I've tried to do is to indicate ways that they can help and things that they can do that will help their children. So ways of minimising their own anxiety about results, ways that they can help their child to succeed at school without actually trying to do their homework for them, ways that they can manage the... I mean, school life is a journey. What you can do with a four-year-old is a million times different from what you do with a seven-year-old and an 11-year-old. So it's about helping expectations academically, about enabling them to just walk through daily life. So one of the things I constantly come back to is, how is your child perceiving what you're doing? So when people say, I always sit next to her to do her homework in the evenings and I point to the things that are going wrong, I say, well, how does that make your child feel? Does she now feel she can't do anything without a parent sitting beside her? Or does she feel she can't read the question herself unless you're pointing to it? And what happens if she makes a mistake? Do you immediately jump on it so she has no time to consider it? Does she lack resilience because every time something goes wrong, you mop up and you make it right? Because for me, handing in perfect homework isn't really a solution to thinking through a process or a concept. That's not the answer.
Do you think sometimes, or quite often, we rescue children too much? Because we call this generation the cotton wool kids, don't we? Because we've wrapped them up in cotton wool so much.
I think we do. Undoubtedly, that is the case. But I see it as something actually that affects the parents much more. It's a sort of performativity that we have to be perfect parents. We have to breed perfect children. We have to have everything in place to make our children succeed, and that means wrapping them up in cotton wool, which I don't think to be the best way forward. But I feel very, very sorry for parents, even my own family, listening to my sister saying constantly, did I do the right thing? What should I do about this? And 9 times out of 10, my answer for her is, don't do anything. Just let it rest. Let it unfold. It doesn't matter if she gets it wrong. She can get it right later. So I think everything's in a hurry. We want to succeed. We want the results. We want the A grades and all of the things that we think matter. Quite a lot of them don't matter. What matters is that we're growing fabulous members of society for the future.
Yeah. And what do you think about the age that young people start school in this country? You know, because I think sometimes for boys especially, starting school at just 4 years old just seems so young, whereas on the continent they start at 6.
I think it depends what goes on in the school at that age. I mean, I do have an early years department in my school, but I'm really adamant that the children do as much as possible in terms of play and socialisation. And, I mean, one of the biggest skills that children can learn is introducing themselves into an activity. So going up to someone and saying, hello, my name's Mirinda, can I play with you, is almost the most fundamental thing a child can learn, and it takes years. So I don't think groups of children working together with nice adults is a problem per se, but if that becomes learn your phonics early, can you read a book, and forcing children into doing academic skills, then I think that's questionable. Yeah. And it's almost a party trick, because very young children tend to have quite good retentive memories, so they can often quote back to you tables or numbers or things that they've learnt, but actually the concept underlying it isn't really there, and that can mask a learning or mask the lack of learning which needs to be put in place. And if a parent feels that their child's amazing at it and amazing at reading, they won't want to go back and do those skills. So one of the constant things that I hear from people is, she needs to be accelerated up a reading level, or she needs to be on the next book.
Sharon, that's not you, is it? As a parent,
you're not pushing her, are you? Go down a level is what I'm thinking.
And I think, you know, that breadth of really just enjoying and playing, and children deserve a childhood. I think it's really important.
I'm just fascinated by that programme, The Secret Life of a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old. I just find it, I just can't, it's mesmerising. It's just wonderful viewing. Yeah, it's great.
You mentioned previously about your views of the rights of a child. Can you just elaborate a bit on that?
Well, I think there are a few things that are very fundamental to children's lives, and one of them is that they need boundaries, and they need to know exactly what's allowed and what isn't allowed, and that means that they have to be treated consistently. So being allowed to do something one day and not the next is going to really create conflict in their own minds, and then they'll push the boundaries a bit further to see what the rules really are. So I think boundaries and consistency are important. I think children have a right to a really good night's sleep. And I think that's an absolute essential. And I really do believe that children go to bed too late. I see so many children tired during the day. I'm very aware that children these days are pandered to in terms of I must eat chocolate four times a day, or I must at least have something to eat at break, which could be a sandwich. And I think children have the right to learn when their bodies are full and empty, and so they really need to get hungry sometimes. That's important. I think they have the right to be taken with a pinch of salt, because although every family will tell you their children never lie, it's normal for children to lie. It's how they learn about the world, and we want them to be creative and imaginative. And for small children, the boundaries between real life and what they're imagining are quite fluid. So it is important sometimes to let children understand what is good and what is right. I think they need to be told, when they're told not to do something, I think it's quite important on occasion to say, and that means now, not next time, so that, again, there are proper lessons to be learnt then. Mm. So don't stick your fingers into the plug socket next time, but I'm not going to punish you this time, is probably a bit late. So
speaking of plug sockets, leads me nicely on to the next question, which is, have you seen a negative impact on children as a result of technology that they're being exposed to, given at an early age?
I think that's a really good question, and I can't say I'm sure about the answer. What I do see is that when we offer normal computer screens, children try to touch them and can't really understand why the technology doesn't work that way. And it's true, they seem to be very intuitive in managing it. And I think if you can use good programs and good ways of teaching things, you know, and I'm talking within a teaching framework, it's really useful. But do I wish they'd put them away at 4 o'clock and go and read a book or go in the garden and get mucky? Yes. Mm. I think it's very easy to hand a child something that will keep them quiet. Perhaps not quite my generation, but a little later, television was that thing. Now television seems to have been superseded by other forms of screens. And I actually think children need to be messy. They need to take risks. They need to be exposed to warm and cold air outside, fresh air. They need a little bit of independence and a time to play and a time to rest their minds. I think the one thing I have noted is that computer screens make the world a very visual place, and children learn and retain things in a very visual way. And I'm very much an auditory learner, and I love to listen to stories. I love to listen to people talking. I very rarely take notes in a lecture or a meeting. I listen and I try to absorb what I'm being told and remember it. And so if you don't have those auditory skills, I think life can be quite difficult. Yeah.
I definitely take on board what you say about children need to take risks. I think sometimes health and safety has gone a bit mad. I mean, I did hear about a school a couple of years ago where they were having to use goggles to play with blue tack in case it went in their eyes. And I just thought, it's taking it to a ridiculous level. So children aren't allowed to play anymore. It's just taken away too many of the things that could go wrong. Sometimes things will go wrong, and that's just life, isn't it?
Absolutely. I love to see the children outside playing, and I think they should be given as much freedom as possible. One has to obviously take, you know, care of them, but freedom's a good thing.
I know that you're a great drama lover, and you had some input in the building of a really fantastic theatre at Notre Dame. Could you just give us a little bit background to that?
Oh, so lucky. We knocked down a school hall, and we thought and thought about ways of actually replacing it. But what we wanted to do is we wanted to do the impossible. We wanted to create a space that would seat perhaps 350 to 400 people, take up the footprint of, well, a very small footprint of a small room. And in it, we wanted to be able to have music and drama, musical theatre, and tiny children standing on a stage who could be heard by their parents, and professional productions. And we managed to squeeze the impossible into a sort of pepper pot building that goes up three stories for seating, and looks something like one of the theatres in Stratford, and a little bit like the Swan in Kingston. And I was the client liaison, and it was an enormously enjoyable project. So I had the opportunity to be in and out of the building every day, and planning and deciding where the plug sockets went. And we have the most fantastic facility there. And what pleases me most is seeing the big girls doing their wonderful, you know, full school productions. And then we've done the takedown very quickly, and this week we'll have 3-year-olds standing on a star so they don't fall
off.
Aww,
so sweet.
And speaking out to their families with enormous confidence. And the theatre, in my view, is a brilliant way of building children's confidence, so it's great.
I know that you play the bodhrán, and I'm not going to pretend to know exactly what that is. So,
because the demonstration, Sharon, yeah. of what
oh,
that is.
Oh, no, I can't. Oh, no. Maybe you can, Marinda. Maybe you can do the sound. Imitate the sound.
Well, it's an Irish frame drum. It's one of those things where it's a sort of double-ended stick that you play on an upright drum. So I can't really reproduce the sound without it.
We'll buy the CD.
It's not very cool, if I'm honest. But I really, really love it. And I think that if you do stuff and you enjoy it, it is kind of cool.
Brilliant. Unfortunately, time's run away with us, Marinda. Finally, are there any top tips you can give our listeners if they're looking at new prep schools for their young children?
I think it's like buying a house. Walk round them, ask questions, breathe the air, walk the walk, see if the children are smiling. And if they are, that will give you a few answers.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. That was Marinda Deprano from Notre Dame School. And an email address if people want to contact you, Marinda, or to buy your book?
My book is on Amazon, and I can be contacted via the school office, and the website is notredame.co.uk.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And now we're going to have another short ad break, and we're back to talk to our final guest, Lorraine Tarbiton, from the LP Partnership. So stay tuned.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
I'm so glad you're open.
Thank goodness you're here.
Do you ever close?
Did you know the pharmacy at 20 Church Street, Weybridge is open 100 hours every week to meet your immediate medical needs? We're here for you from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. weekdays, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturdays, and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sundays. Our friendly and knowledgeable team can provide you with the advice you need, as well as helping you with repeat prescriptions, all the over-the-counter products you would expect, and if you can't get in to visit us, we will deliver to you. The Pharmacy, 20 Church Street, Weybridge. We're here when you need us, 100 hours every week.
Apple devices and IT systems are a crucial part of modern-day businesses. Any business can be seriously disrupted by unexpected IT failure. If you're a business owner and your company needs peace of mind Apple Mac support, please call 07907-795000 or visit www.rafalcookler.com and speak with Rafal, your local Apple certified support professional today. That's 07907-795000 for peace of mind Apple support.
Hi, it's Jill Bennett. Why not listen in on Thursday afternoons between 1 and 4? I'll be playing lots of great tunes featuring classic hits from across the decades, news and events in Surrey, and your essential guide to a happier and healthier lifestyle. There'll be a guest each week sharing their experiences. So join me, Jill Bennett, this Thursday on Brooklands Radio between 1 and 4.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello and welcome back to Just Women with myself, Ivana O'Brien, and Sharon Finch. Our final guest today is Lorraine Tarbiton from the LP Partnership. Welcome, Lorraine. Before we go on to talk about the wonderful stuff you're doing now, can you just tell us a bit about your career history, what you've done in the past?
My career history was from when I was about 25. I come to London to find an IT job. I had 2 young children. I was a single parent. And I needed some finances, really. So I come to London, brought them with me. And that's where it started in the IT world. But then I went into the holistic approach. I lost my mum at that same time as well when I was 25. And I was looking for the reasons, maybe looking for spirit, maybe looking for the reasons of why she died so young, you know, what was the cause. And I remember her saying to me that when her mum passed, she said, I kept all the grief in my, and she put her hand on her chest and she said, kept all my grief inside. And so I thought, was there a connection to why my mum then died of breast cancer? So I think my journey with my children was finding spirit, so finding mum, finding the reasons, was there an emotional reason that she passed so young? So I was always in IT, but I always had this drive to find holistic ways of being, you know, keep searching for spirit. And so that's, I carried on with IT, but during that time I was training in various spiritual ways of being, Reiki and other modalities. I'm now a spiritual teacher and I have one-to-one sessions with clients. And then I moved into the Synergy Worldwide business because that fits in with the holistic approach. It's natural products that are pure and potent, and we are mind, body, spirit. You know, I can clear the emotional healing from people, the reasons they've got this sickness, if, you know, if there's a negativity there or a sadness that they're carrying or grief. But I also needed the physical to catch up. So it's about providing pure nutrition for people. So I'm also training to be a naturopathic nutritionist because it's all about mind, body and spirit. So this is where I've come from, IT, into holistic, doing the both, and now with the products. And I keep adding on.
So before we talk about the spiritual side, because that always fascinates me, tell us a bit about the Synergy side and what's involved in that.
The Synergy side, it's a multi-level marketing company. We're newish in the UK, but it's been in the US. It was founded by a man called Dan Higginson in 1999. And we're part of Nature Sunshine, who is a big company, well-known for their natural products. Then, I say, 6 years in the UK, and there's only about 600 distributors in the UK. They're quite new. But the really good thing about the Synergy is they focus on what the people need. What are we missing from our diets? Where's the nutrition gone in the food? Our diets have changed. You know, we are having takeaways. We are having alcohol. You know, I love wine. And we do have these things that cause our bodies toxins. And there's toxins in the air. There's more cars on the road. We get free radicals just by breathing. You know, so we're not getting enough of the nutrients we need. So what Synergy do, they look at the population and look at the problems we're having and they find solutions that will help us, just help us with our solutions to perfect health, really.
Because most countries are different, our diet's probably different to the States. How does that feature with the products? Do they cover all different needs, for all different nationalities?
They look at the. Well, they started the products in Asia. They started in the Asian market, and so they sort of geared the products up for the Asian market. But when you're looking about everybody's need, most of the needs, we need our veggies, we need our fruits. You know, we need the antioxidants in our fruits. We need the veggies. We need the acid alkaline balance. That's what that will do for you. We need nitric oxide pathway, which is what the arginine does for us. So it softens all our arteries and veins. So it's like, what does our bodies need? Now, in the recent product, there's a lot of research amount about it. It's all coming from the gut, the microbiome. So what Synergy have done, they've researched it. There's a lot of research from other companies about it. It's all about the gut. So because they found all this information, all that research has been going on, they've created the microbiome kit, which detoxes you, cleanses the gut, and helps promote the good gut bacteria. So this is why Synergy are good, because they focus on what we need. And yes, there are varying products in varying countries. America has different products to us. Asia has. I don't know the products in Asia, to be honest. I've not really looked. But I know America has the products over there that are slightly different.
So how do you decide what each person needs? How is it kind of, is it tailored to each individual, or is it you start off in a certain supplement and then you progress from there? Or
there are certain tests you can do. I've just had live blood analysis, which showed me I could see a little bit of acid floating in my blood. It was quite
what did it look like?
It was look like you'd put a bit of acid in a bowl, you know, and everything separates. It was like, oh, there's my blood cells. So I could see the acid in my blood. I know there wasn't a lot, and considering my background, because I've had numerous surgeries and, you know, numerous things go wrong with my gut. I've had 6 weeks of antibiotics because of surgery that got infected. So my gut bacteria was destroyed. You know, I was yo-yo dieting. I have had this terrible fatigue, you know, from that antibiotics and stuff. And we need them. I need to be alive. We need our doctors. But we also need to make sure our bodies can heal with nutrition. So, yeah, so if I needed more acid, if people will get acid, did they get acid reflux or they get digestive problems or some people suffer with gout? Now, that would show that you're probably more acidic. So you may want to take the product that we do that balances your alkalis. There's lots of alkalis diets.
And in relation to food, what foods could you eliminate from your diet that would help with too much acid?
With food, it's like all the breads and the things that are really acidic food, things that are going to make you really acidic. A lot of raw foods are good to get you more alkalis. So raw food, green foods, lots of things like that. I mean, I hear there's a whole list on the internet. You can just an alkalizing diet, but it's getting the quantities.
Yeah.
It's getting that amount of quantities. So what Synergy do again is they concentrate something really good, really small, and you just take a 15-mil dose that tastes quite good. I don't like green stuff, really. I love my cabbage, but not concentrated green stuff. So it's just a quick swig and you're getting all your alkalizing solution. But it's not a replacement for veg. We do need our fibres. We do need our veg. It's just if we're not getting enough.
Sure.
Enough because the cabbage of today is not the cabbage of the 1940s.
That would make a really good quote. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Sprouts as well.
I love sprouts.
There are so many allergies around, especially, you know, children, nuts and dairy and gluten. Has that always been the case, or why is it so bad now as to previous years?
I think, again, it's our diet. I think, again, we're eating the wrong foods. I mean, I don't really want to take my grandchildren to McDonald's, but they are super excited when I do. And what else? Where else can I take them for something that's super exciting that's, you know, not a McDonald's? And I'll keep looking. And I do take them to proper restaurants, and I keep trying to introduce more foods, but... You know, how do you stop him when he says, I want a bit of toast? You're like, well, that's not the best option. You know, let's have a nice, let's get all this fruit and veggies out, you know, and make a really interesting natural breakfast. Mm. But we're fighting the population. We're fighting the kids of today. We're fighting what we were brought up with. Mm. You know, to me, a healthy breakfast was a bowl of cereal. It was. I love my cornflakes.
Yeah.
But when you look at the nutritional ingredients in your cornflakes to what you actually get, if you actually really looked at it. Now, I am training in nutrition. I'm only in year 1.5 or 3 years, so I'm not there yet.
No.
But when you look at it, you know, a bit of toast would be lovely with a big bit of jam. We love it, don't we?
I think where it all went pear-shaped in my family was my children were brought up on, like, fresh food, because my parents were Italian, so it was all cooked from scratch. But the writing was on the wall when they started school, because then it's like you're going to tea at other people's houses and they're having chicken nuggets and chips.
Yeah.
They're coming home thinking, why have I got to have pasta?
Yeah.
So that's when it becomes a challenge trying to make them understand, actually, this is healthier, but no.
Yeah.
They'd want the pizza, they'd want the nuggets, etc., wouldn't they?
It's a hard battle.
I find the messages, the constant changing messages in the food industry, very confusing. If you're pregnant, don't eat nuts. And now, you know, if you do eat nuts, there probably might be less nut allergies. Organic, you're paying more, it's good, it's not good, it's worthless. Every day there seems to be a different message. And everything just seems to go, you know, topsy-turvy all the time. So you just don't know what to believe anymore, really.
No, I totally agree. I think for me, it's trust your intuition. I mean, I stumbled across Synergy for an introduction for a friend and I took the products. I said my body was fatigued, I was on the floor and I took them and I felt the benefits. So I think with other products and the world out there, the industry out there, it's just trust your instincts. Try stuff, you know, see if there's money back guarantees. I mean, we've got a money back guarantee if you didn't like it, but look at the labels. If you don't understand a word, don't eat the word.
That's true.
Yeah, that's good. I like that one.
Lucky I understand chocolate, really.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Do people come to you for Reiki and therapy and then you suggest Synergy, or do they contact you via the website and say, you know, this is what I've got, what can you recommend?
No, I tend to, because I'm not a trained nutritionist yet, I don't tend to introduce a nutrition. If anybody says they're a bit fatigued, I say, well, I have these, do you want to try them? I don't normally... combine the two. If somebody comes for me for a healing session, I do the healing session.
Right.
And can you combine the supplements that Synergy offer with, say, other vitamins that people are also taking, or do they advise you on that?
Yes, you can take, at the moment we've got the core greens, which is your acid alkaline balance. We've got your antioxidants, which we all need, and that's and we also have the, as I said, the nitric oxide pathway and the detox problem. But if you're not getting enough omega-3s, you know, Synergy's working on their omega-3s. We have top scientists doing the, you know, putting them all together. They're going to come out in the future. So if you need your omega-3s, you combine them with what else you get from the doctors or from the pharmacist, or probably the health shops are the best.
Yeah.
Natural health shops are probably the good way.
Is this a short-term method, or is Synergy kind of a long-term, you should be taking this on a lengthier basis?
I think it depends on your diet. If you were super, super fit and healthy, always having lots of veg, you could probably get away without your fighter life. I probably couldn't. I mean, I do love veg, but my lifestyle, I'm here, there, I'm everywhere. It's having that amount of veg on your plate to keep that alkaline balance up. So I would say I will have my products for life because I don't really want to be out without them. if I don't take my Pro-RG, for example, which is the vasodilator, you know, it makes all your arteries and veins soft and all the oxygen gets around, I get that achy leg syndrome. I had it for years, where you wake up in the night, running around the house, going, ah, stop aching, you know. But it will get rid of that. So it never comes back again if I stay on my Pro-RG, which is what it's called.
And being a woman of a certain age...
Why are you looking at me?
The M word. I'm thinking about the M word here.
We're always thinking about the M word.
We are. Do they do products for the menopause?
Not yet. But I'm actually in the menopause as well myself. So as soon as it's there, I'll be on it.
Brilliant.
However, because you're getting all the core nutrition you need, your body's, when you're giving your body what it needs, it copes with everything better.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about the spiritual work that you do, Lorraine. What does that involve?
That involves... We connect to spirit, whatever spirit, whatever anybody believes in. It could be if a child, if they didn't believe in spirit or a god or an energy, you could use a grandparent and a lot of symbolism with children as well. It's about, I can do a scan to find out what blocks you may hold.
Do you use muscle testing for that, to do the scan?
Yeah, completely. Yeah. Well, no, not for the scanning. For the scanning, I just use my intuition. It's like I scan the body,
yeah,
but with permission. I use muscle testing completely to test that I've got the right thing.
Right.
So if I see you're holding grief, I will muscle test that with you to confirm it, because otherwise you think I'm talking a load of nonsense. So I have to confirm it with you. And once I've confirmed it, we look at the root of that, and then we ask for it to be lifted from spirit, not me, for spirit to lift that. And with your agreement, once we all agree, you agree, I'm going to go and ask, and we all agree, it happens.
So can you tell us about a success story that stands out in your mind from all the things that you've done?
Recently I had a really good success story, and I'm sure she won't mind me saying if I don't use names, but it's a lady in America I've been doing some sessions on. Her. She said to me, I've got a cyst in my womb. So I was like, okay, that's really serious, but let's get rid of it energetically, right, with my healing med. And we did the work, we did the hour, and the next week later she came back, she said, I've got the doctor's test, it's gone. Super! I was jumping for joy, because that's a amazing medical test that was there, and then a medical test, it's gone.
So what did you do on her then?
It's the same, I would do an intuitive scan, see what the beliefs are around that, what caused it, what's the emotional reasons. And once you find the emotional reasons, then you get rid of the physical. And sometimes I find, for me, it's easier when I'm dealing with inside the body, because it's all seeing it energetically. But if I look at like a burn, it's like I can see the burn, you know. But
does that mean if you've got a really happy person that's had no trauma, they're unlikely to be ill? Or I'm just thinking about the kind of the hereditary genetic thing, how does that confuse the issue?
Well, I would muscle test myself that I had the breast cancer gene, and now I've cleared it, and I can muscle test that I do not have the breast cancer gene. It was too late for me because I already had the surgery, but I'm safe.
Mm.
But I can do that on other people as well.
And how young are some of your clients? How are the?
I think my youngest. Well, I do my nieces and nephews that can be quite young. They say, "I want to be good at maths. I want to be good at English." So you just do
so
it.
So do we. In your bio, you mention rainbow children digging. And I'm not sure what that means.
Ah, okay. Rainbow Children Course is a course for children. And it's all about connecting to spirit, to the power animal, to playing with crystals. It's just playing. It's a real playing, but in the spiritual realm. You know, when we're growing up and it's all brushed aside if we're a little bit spiritual. We're not allowed, you know, there's nothing there. You're not talking to somebody, you know. But when you can see somebody... So it's about connecting child to spirit in a nice way. It's a 5-day course, and we're just playing with crystals, playing with cards, playing with candles, and just playing with spirit, really.
It's come to that time again, Sharon.
No way.
The time's just run away with us again. Thank you, Lorraine. For any listeners out there listening, are there any top tips you can give them in relation to the supplements that are out there that you offer?
Just come and have a look. If you're suffering with anything at all, just come and have a look. All we do is give the body pure nutrition. And if your body's lacking in something, see a nutritionalist or just try it.
Brilliant. Thank you. And do you have a website, Lorraine, for listeners?
Yes, it's www.the-lp-partnership.com.
Brilliant. And an email address?
Lorraine@the-lp-partnership.com.
Perfect. Thank you. So I'd like to thank all our guests on today's show. That's Lou Requena, intuitive coach and mentor, Marinda DiPrano, head of Notre Dame Prep School, and Lorraine Tarbottom from the LP Partnership, and also my lovely co-presenter today, Sharon Finch.
Thanks, Varna. And just to say, we're always keen to hear about local women with interesting lives. So if you know of someone you think should be on our show, please email justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details and we'll get in touch with them.
Yes, and hopefully get them on a future show. Details of past and future guests are on our website. That's brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen. And you can find us on Facebook too at forward slash justwomen.br. That's a mouthful. So thank you for listening, and join us again next week for Just Women at 1 o'clock on Tuesday, repeated at 8 o'clock on Thursday. So it's goodbye from me, Varna O'Brien.
And it's goodbye from me, Sharon Finch.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.